Hello, and welcome to the Mental Endurance Podcast. I am your host, Latoya C. Waddell. And as you all know, I am a licensed professional counselor, licensed clinical addiction specialist, licensed professional counselor supervisor, certified clinical supervisor, and a personal and professional developer coach. So I want to send out a shout out to all of our listeners out there in the United States, the Netherlands, South Africa, Denmark, Canada, Vietnam, Spain. You all know I'm always paying attention to who's listening, and I am so much in appreciation of your support. So please continue to like, subscribe, and share our podcast. We basically want to encourage everybody to stand out from yourself. We want to make sure that we are providing you with applicable solutions, inspiring personal and professional growth, helping you to build self-esteem and confidence, encouraging you to apply what you've learned in life, be the best you, and be solution-focused. So please, please, please continue to like, share, and subscribe out there. And I thank you all for increasing your listenership and continuing to take your time out to listen to the podcast. So today on the podcast, we actually will be talking about the topic of obtaining your PhD and motivation. But instead of us talking about the process of like going through your PhD, we're going to talk about the process of applying for your PhD and waiting for your acceptance letter. So today's title is I Want My PhD. And I am interviewing some of my cohort on my new journey for my PhD, Miss Olivia Easley, Amanda McElroy, and Allison Graham. And so they will be with me today. So please stick around, listen to a word from our sponsor, and then the interview. Welcome back to the Mental Endurance Podcast. So, as I stated earlier, today is a little bit different where you're used to me interviewing one person. Well, I'm interviewing not one person, but three individuals. And I am very excited because they are a part of the new journey that I'm embarking on in my life, which is PhD program. So today I have with me, and I'll let them introduce themselves since it's more than one person. I have Miss
Olivia Easley,
Amanda McElroy,
Allison Graham.
So let's welcome them here, and we're going to get started. So whoever wants to start first, how are you all doing today?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
I'm a little tired. I could be better.
Okay.
I'm doing awesome.
Doing awesome?
Nervous.
Right. Nervous A. Again, I'm nervous every time I do the podcast, so it's good. It's all good. All right, so tell us a little bit about yourselves and your educational background. So can we start with you, Olivia?
Yes. I am from Florida. I just moved to North Carolina. I have my master's in mental health counseling. I am a licensed professional counselor in the state of North Carolina. I worked in outpatient community-based services in the state of Florida for about 2.5 years, working with multiple diagnoses, anything from anxiety, depression, PTSD, ADHD, autism, the whole spectrum. And then before that, I was a social worker for 3.5 years with the Department of Children and Families in the state of Florida. So that's a little bit about me and my background.
Okay, all right. I mean, you know, as they say, you got like full-fledged background right there.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of experience.
Well, next we're going to get to, as I call her, my firecracker, Amanda.
I guess that would be me. So I just recently graduated with my master's a little over a month ago. I got my master's in clinical and mental health counseling in Georgia, and I did my internship and practicum experience at Pathways at American Work. I worked with individuals who had substance abuse issues, they had dual mental health issues, persistent diagnoses, and different things like that. So I don't have much experience in the field, but I do have a lot of experience in the books mainly. So that's a little bit of my background.
And it's okay. As you all heard, she literally just finished with her master's and is already in the PhD program with us. So that's extraordinary. So, all right. And last but not least, we have Miss Addison.
Yes. So I'm from Atlanta by way of New Orleans. I actually got my master's in New Orleans, specializing in clinical mental health. I basically have worked across the board in different areas, like some people in my cohort. I worked with children on the autism spectrum. I also worked with adults who were in a substance abuse rehab facility. I've interned at a college campus counseling center. So I've got some experiences in different places.
Okay. All right. Cool. And I like the fact that you all have worked with individuals with autism. Earlier in the year, before I actually started my podcast, one of the things that propelled me to get my confidence up and do what I wanted to do, which was start a podcast, I got to be on a radio show. And that was the topic that I got to talk about was autism. Mm. Because I feel like a lot of people avoid that topic, but it's a topic that needs to be talked about.
Absolutely.
It's an area that people need to learn more about. Mm-hmm. It's a population that deserves more attention. So I am so glad to hear that. So, of course, everybody out there that is a regular listener of the podcast, you do know that I am a licensed professional counselor, a licensed clinical addiction specialist, licensed professional counselor supervisor, and then a clinical certified supervisor, along with a personal and professional development coach. But that's my background, yeah, it's a mouthful, I know. But my background is rehabilitation counseling. So I graduated with my master's in rehabilitation counseling, and I basically have worked with children all the way up to adults in the populations that you've heard the others on the podcast say that they've worked with. So I've worked with substance abuse, any mental health you could think of, ID, autism. The whole gamut. I worked with couples and families as well. So I've had a sense of background. And prior to that, I also was in the community sector and did group home work as well. So our backgrounds are all mixed. And so that's why I think this is a good cohesive group to have here today to talk about the process of getting, if you're a person out there that wants to have their PhD, the process of actually like getting into a PhD program, I think, so that everybody knows that you can come from various backgrounds and you can still do it. Doesn't matter how soon or how late you wait, like I did in life to do it, you can still do it and it's feasible for you. I know that this is not the road for everybody. And sometimes it's the road less taken, but it's very much needed, even especially in the African-American community. And us as females, as African-American, there's a lot of need for more African-American females to have their PhD so that we can have a little bit more of diverse teaching in our program. So I think that this is a good group here. So thank you, ladies, again for being here today.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So who wants to go first to talk about what is motivation to you?
Our own definitions.
Yeah. What's your own definition of motivation?
Well, I guess I'll say for me, motivation is that driving force. What wakes me up in the morning and makes me want to get out of bed? What makes me want to drive, whether it's 15 minutes or an hour for some people? And so I feel like motivation is that voice, that tiny voice in the back of my head that says, you need to do this.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
I think piggybacking off of that, it is a driving force. Like, what pushes me to keep going even when I don't want to? Mm. What drives me to keep going? Like she mentioned before, I mean, regardless if it's 15 minutes, like if I needed to get to school and it took me an hour and a half to get here, what would push me to drive that hour and a half every single day to get to school if I needed to? What's pushing me to get here? What's motivating me to get to where I need to be? And so I think for me, it's important to recognize what's I feel like I put motivation and passion next to each other.
Okay.
So what am I passionate about? What motivates me? And so that's mine.
I would say values. Values are really important to me, and they motivate me to do pretty much anything. If I find it to be valuable to me, then that becomes my motivation. And values could be, it could really be anything, like intellectual, being able to challenge myself. I find all of those things to be motivating. So I feel like those two things for me are pretty equal, values and motivation.
So speaking of motivation, Olivia, what specifically motivated you to actually apply for a PhD program?
Well, I've always wanted to kind of go to the top of my field. And it was kind of a back and forth for a while of me thinking, why do I want to do this? And what is going to get me to that point? And so I think after all of the hurdles of like going through all of the steps, what kept motivating me and what made me do it was I wanted to make a greater impact on my field. Especially, you don't see many African-American women or men maybe coming up with theories or really impacting the field. And I wanted to be able to do that, or at least have the opportunity to do it.
Okay. All right. And what about you, Amanda?
So as I previously mentioned, I look at motivation and passion as being synonymous. So for me, what motivated me to applying for my PhD is removing the stigma that surrounds mental health in the African American community, in the Black community overall, not just African Americans, but Black people just overall. So I want to push myself to remove that stigma and to bring awareness to our community in the mental health field. And so that's what drives me. That's what wakes me up in the morning. That's what pushes me, because although I would like to think that we have awareness, I feel like celebrities bring more awareness to our field, but I want to be a person that brings awareness to our field overall. I want the work that I do to speak for itself and to bring awareness that way. And so that's what I'm trying to work on doing through being in this field and through gaining my PhD.
Okay, awesome. Like, everybody's saying things that are just like triggering different thoughts in my head, mm-hmm. but let me stay focused. Mm-hmm. So, Allison, what motivated you to apply for your PhD?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not even going to sit here and hold y'all. Like, for real, I want it all. And when I say I want it all, I want to reach a wide scope. I want to be able to reach many people on different levels. And I feel like with a PhD, I will be able to do that. I will be able to provide and help provide knowledge to someone else. It's like reaching back and mm-hmm. helping up your sister or brother. And that's what I plan to do.
I like that.
And especially me being a Black person, a Black therapist, because I'm provisionally licensed, I want to be able to do that for the next person. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel like there's no better way to do that than when you're at the top, you can pull someone up mm-hmm. and it just keeps going from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like the other lady said, I definitely feel like when you are in a PhD position, you'll also be able to help remove the stigma when it comes to, like you said, teaching, and also when it comes to mental health in general.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I pretty much agree with everything that you ladies are saying. I like the concept of reaching back. I like the concept of having a passion for something. And I also just I like the concept of you knowing what your population is, Olivia, and knowing that this is what you want to make a big difference in this particular population. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know for me, I feel like I'm probably a mixture of everybody with, I feel like it's a purpose in all of it.
of why I should have my PhD. I don't feel like having my PhD is going to be the end all to be all in regards to this is where I'm stopping at and this is like the top. But I feel like having my PhD will open some doors, not necessarily saying doors cannot be open for people without PhDs, so please understand that, but that is going to open some doors that I want to specifically try to attack, and some issues and concerns that I'm trying to attack, like within the educational system when it comes to teaching other individuals that are trying, that are counselors in training. So I do feel like, you know, even though I don't think I'm going to be full-time teaching because I have other things that I want to do as well and aspire to do, I do feel like I'll be able to make a difference somehow if I'm able to go in and look at the programs and decide and figure out things that I feel like should be changing according to what I've seen in the field, because I've been in the field for quite a while now and I've seen things that I may not have been pleased with when I have new supervisees that may come to me and work with me or may come and do their internship or practicum with me and things of that nature that I'm not pleased with. I feel like that, I'm not saying that programs don't prepare them, but I'm saying that they could be more prepared according to the community standards of what the community is expecting of them. Mm-hmm. I think the community is expecting more of them than what realistically they should expect according to program standards. So I just want to raise the standards. That's what I'm trying to say, basically.
Gatekeeper. That's a good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So yeah. So, was the, ladies, was the process hard in regards to applying, choosing, all of that good stuff, applying for your PhD? Like, was the process hard? And then if it was hard, what was that thing that kept you motivated during the process of applying? And then also, ooh, the hard process for me of waiting on that acceptance letter. Like, woo!
Let's just be candid. I'm just going to put it on the table because this is not an easy walk through the park. Let's get some ice cream in the sun. Like, it is not. I applied to multiple programs because I'm a person that walks by faith and not by sight. So I was telling people when I started my master's program, I'm going to go get my doctorate. I started my master's program off like, this is what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to do it. And watch, in 2 years, I'm going to finish this program early, because all of my professors were like, you're crazy for taking multiple classes to finish this program early. Because my master's program originally is a 2.5-year program. Just a little tidbit to give you a backstory. It's originally a 2.5-year program. I was supposed to finish in the fall. I said, nope, I'm going to finish in the summer. I'm going to apply for doc programs. They were like, they're not going to accept you. No one's going to accept you. You're going to be still in the program. You're not finished without a degree. I was like, nope, I'm going to take all these classes. I'm going to take 4 instead of 3. I'm going to work jobs. I'm going to do all these things. So I did it. And then, so I applied to multiple programs, and I told them before I even started, I told them that first semester that this is what I'm going to do. This is my plan of study, and I'm going to make it happen. I applied to multiple programs, and I got multiple interviews, and I got to choose between the schools that I wanted to, I got to pick between multiple schools. So I got multiple acceptance letters. However, that process, though I'm making it seem like it was something that just kind of happened because I spoke it into existence, it was not an easy process. I was working 3 jobs at the time and in school full time, and I was studying for my NCE at the time, and I was miserable. I was unhappy because I was putting a lot of stress on myself, but this is what I wanted. Nothing that is worth it, like nothing that you ever want, is going to be easily gained. So you have to put in the time, you have to put in the work, you have to, if you really want something, you have to go and get it. Because in the end, you'll look back and be like, oh man, I really worked for it. So it's going to be worth it in the end. So that's what it was for me, because I really wanted it. And so I really appreciate it now that I'm in it, I'm sitting in it. So I'm like, man, remember that time that I went through all that stuff and I really did all these things and I worked those 3 jobs and I was miserable and I was stressing myself out? I'm in it now. All the things that I did and I worked towards through my master's program and doing undergrad and worked all those jobs to get here, I'm here now. I'm here. I'm living in it. I'm all the things I ever dreamed about. I'm in it. Like,
y'all let me go on, I'll go on. But
no,
this is like, this is where I, this is, I mean, it was hard. It was so hard, but I mean, I'm in it. And so it feels so good to just be in it. Mm-hmm. But it was so, it was difficult. I can't even say it was easy. Like, the application process was hard. They make you write multiple essays. And they make you work for it. Like, the interview is 8 hours. It's basically 8 hours, multiple rounds of interviews. It's difficult. You have to travel. It's very difficult, but it's so worth it because they want to make sure that you really want it. Mm-hmm. You have to really want it. It's not something that you just wake up and decide, okay, well, you know, I think I'll do this. No, you have to really want it. It's a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. It's an adjustment.
Yes.
It's an adjustment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to really want this. I can't say it enough.
Yeah, don't apologize. You did say passion and motivation.
They are synonymous.
Yes. So we hear your passion. So what about you, Allison?
I would say for me, the process wasn't hard. It was more so tedious. I only applied to one program because I knew this was the program that I wanted to be in. So the tedious part for me was having different opinions coming at me, having different people in my ear. And don't get me wrong, all of these people wanted the best for me, but they wanted to make sure that I was ready for this process because this is a process. So I had mentors and staff at my former, or at my master's program, who were telling me basically what the whole process was like, who basically, I even had somebody say, like, are you prepared to be not broke again, but be broke again? Are you prepared? She said it in different terms, but she said it in different terms, but she really was like, you know, are you prepared to be that college student again? And I had to think about that, because sometimes if you get so used to a certain lifestyle, you have to step back and think, like, am I really ready for this? So that was a tedious process for me, because I really had to weigh out the pros and cons. But in the end, I feel like this is only a temporary thing. Sometimes we as people, I think we get caught up in the temporary when we should really be focusing on the end result. And so that was, the big picture. And so that was tedious for me. And I would say something else was just, you know, when you have those people in your head, then you start questioning, like, is this right for me? Could I do what I want to do with the master's? And don't get me wrong, I could, because a master's is no small feat. But I guess is where the hard part comes in, because I had to make the hard decision. Like, I am willing to sacrifice to step into what I really want to do. So for me, it wasn't necessarily like the paperwork and whatnot, because like I said, it was only one school for me. It was more so, or one program for me. It was more so, the hard part was figuring out pros and cons and what I'm willing to do to get what I want.
So what motivated you to keep going? And not accept some of the things that felt negative from the from the individuals?
I would say what motivated me to keep going would be when people would give me stuff, I would always have a comeback. Like, yeah, I get that. But, and then the same person, and I think she was more so being devil's advocate, like trying to gauge where I was, because she was like, this is real. And so she even said, you know, it seems like you're really fighting back against me. So it seems like you really have some type of passion there. And when she pointed out the passion, I was kind of like, yeah, you know what? I kind of do. So I would say the motivation for me, or when I noticed I was motivated, was whenever somebody would come at me with something, I always had a rebuttal. And people would notice, like, okay, this is something you really want to do. And when people notice that and they say it out loud, it's like, you know what? I do. And then sometimes you just gotta believe, you gotta believe in yourself. You know, sometimes professors will tell you stuff, but they'll straight up tell you that they had to go through hell to get where they're at.
And the reason, like, we're gonna get to Olivia, but the reason I keep bringing up motivation in regards to the different levels is because the level of motivation for the thought that I want a PhD versus the process to applying mm-hmm. for a PhD mm-hmm. versus the process of actually being in the program mm-hmm. and actually obtaining your PhD. Those are totally different motivations.
They are.
So I just want to make it clear, because our goal here is not to be here patting ourselves on the back, tooting our own horn. Our goal mm-hmm. is to, as you know, for this show, to provide real life things that are going to help other people who are listening to the podcast to make decisions and make informed decisions. And so that's why I'm asking motivation at these different levels. So what about you, Olivia? Like, what was it hard for you, and what kept you motivated during the application process?
It was hard. It was tedious mm-hmm. for sure. It took a lot of my disposable income. So I can mm-hmm. kind of like understand where Allison's coming from. And it is like a choice that you make. My supervisor, he had a saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I know. So every time, like, you know, I would come up against a hurdle, I would just think, okay, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's how I'm going to come, you know, up against this, like, okay, I got to get this, you know, I got to get this GRE done. I got to do the GRE again. I have to write a paper. I got to write a personal statement. I got to apply to all these schools. I got to investigate each school. I got to call. I got to find out all this stuff. So it was a long process. And I think just each time I kept going back to what were my goals, mm-hmm. What were my values, and what did I believe my ability was? Because you do question that during like the process. Am I actually able to complete this? Am I not even the PhD, but am I able to complete the GRE? Am I able to complete this application? Because you have to put a lot of thought into your application. Mm-hmm. You have to put a lot of thought into your personal statement. Mm-hmm. Can I do the interview? Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. Those are all like different things. The ability to think that you want to get a PhD, and then the application process, each step in itself is like almost, you know, an effort that you have to put into it. So just knowing, like having trust in your ability to do the things that you need to do to get to that goal. And it might even, like, for some people, it might not even be a PhD. It could be, like you said, it could be a master's degree. It could be a job program, you know, a vocational program. Yeah. It could be finishing a certificate. And would those all look different? But none are less than or, mm-hmm. you know, more than, because all of them, everybody has a different ability. And we just have to know what our abilities are, and also trust in our abilities mm-hmm. and our experiences that we've had. So that's really my, I think that's what my motivation was, just trusting in myself that, like, I have all the things that I need to do what's been set before me.
Mm. Yeah.
Word.
And we all, and correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but we all are first generational PhD students.
Yes,
correct.
Correct.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I know for me, first generational master's. Are you all the same with that?
Yes.
No.
Yes. No? Okay.
Mother has hers.
Mother has
her. We got hers around the same time.
Same time. Oh!
Wow, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Maybe like a year.
I love stories like that. Yeah. Oh my God, I love stories like that. So, okay, I'm not going to get on the tangent, but I do. I love those kind of stories.
Can I speak on that really quickly? Mm-hmm. Because I realized that I only answered one part of your question when she said that it just triggered something in
okay.
me. That when you had asked how difficult it was, I never answered the motivational part.
Okay, okay.
And that it had something to do with, like, my family and friends. That's the part that kept me motivated.
Mm-hmm.
That they were a huge part of my motivational process to get through applying to my PhD. My friends really helped me shape my personal statement. They would read it 100 times. I mean, I spiraled out like a bunch. I'm not going to even lie. It was difficult, but they were, my support system is my foundation. They are my rocks. And mm-hmm. the fact that, like, I had them there was, like, incredible. Mm-hmm. And, like, my family, I mean, though it is small, they are a huge, like, piece of that. I just wanted mm-hmm. to make sure I said that, because for me, that's important, and I want people to know, like, you kind of have to have that
absolutely.
Throughout each piece. Yeah. Just like you have to have the different motivational factors, you kind of have to have that support system there, and it has to be a strong foundation, and I just wanted to make sure I said that small piece because it just reminded me of that.
Yeah. No, but that's a good point because that's a good point that goes with the point that I was trying to make is I was schooled, you know, by my little firecracker here, Amanda, that first generational PhD can also mean something different because out of us all, she considers them first generational PhD and not me because I have gone through this process before, but not fully, where I had to stop because of medical issues. I'm not going to go into all of it, but I went through the process of being in a program for an EDD and had to stop due to medical issues and some other personal issues that were going on. And now I'm starting over, but I'm starting over in a PhD program, and that's not online, but it's in person. So she considers them as first generation, and I guess me, what, second generation is what you consider me as?
I mean, I didn't say that you were I didn't say that you were second generation, but I do consider you a veteran in the field because you did an online PhD, so you do have more experience than the rest of us. Yeah, so second generation is a good way to explain it. Yeah.
So with that being said, throughout that process, and I did have this little of being in the wrong program, so, but that's a whole nother story.
So second generation.
Whole nother story.
So second generation.
One of the things that I noticed was a continuous question throughout each of my process is support.
Absolutely.
That was a question that I found I was asked about. Do you have the support that it's going to take for you to get through this? And so I like the fact that Amanda brought that up because it's important. Like, I don't want you to feel like you can't do it if you don't think you have this tremendous support. Mm-hmm. Like she said, her family's small. You can, as long as you just have the support that you know or you feel in your heart that you need. And that support could be one person.
Absolutely.
You know, but as long as you know that you have support, that support could be even a stranger, somebody that you just met and something about them just makes feel like they're, you know, constantly supporting you. Or it could be someone when I say a stranger, like people that you don't know, but you get motivation from them because you hear them on social media or you read a book or something, whatever. But do you have the support that you need to get through this process? Because it's very important. And so I think that's another thing how Olivia said, not just for PhD, but for master's as well.
Absolutely.
And actually, nowadays, significantly, the biggest hurdle significantly is getting through your undergraduate degree.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So
too many choices. I feel like the variety that you have in your undergraduate degree makes it more difficult to complete it in that 4-year term. It's no longer 4 years. Now it's 5. Mm-hmm. That's the norm now because you have too much variety. It's not as focused as it is in a master's degree where this is what I want. This is what I'm choosing. I can do it within a 2 to 3 year mark. And you have all these choices and you don't have to meet with your advisor. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You're trying to figure out who you are, what you want, where you're going, all these different things. You have to take all these different general education classes. So it's just,
I think there's a lack of guidance as well.
Absolutely.
In undergraduate programs.
Very much.
Absolutely. I was actually just reading about that. So it was funny because they were saying among African Americans and Latinos that there is significantly less guidance on that part for them to figure out career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just leaves this wide open. And what do you know what is your self-efficacy to figure out, you know?
Especially if you're first generation.
Yeah.
Especially if you're first generation.
Yeah. And I think for each undergrad, master's, and your doctorate, the first semester, it may seem like it should be the easiest, but it's the hardest. You're coming into something new and you're having to change your mindset from one thing to the next. Not to harp on Amanda again, but she didn't even have that much time to switch her mindset.
Ooh.
And so that's pretty much difficult, you know. So just depending on where you're coming from and how much time you've had to get yourself together and get your thoughts together, that's a big thing. And the turnover rate, you know, that's something I think that that's another thing that I know I'm passionate about. So that's another thing why I feel like this podcast is important, because I want to decrease the turnover rate of students who do not make it past their first semester. And, you know, depending on what program it is.
Very true.
Yeah. So, so ladies, what, is your inspiration? I know some of you probably kind of delved into that in some of these other questions, but like, what is your inspiration and what would you say to actually inspire others that are thinking about applying for their PhD? Okay.
Allison.
I was looking at that question.
Y'all can't see, but she's over here with her hand up.
Please, me.
So, and I love telling this story because, well, first, the first part of the question is, what is your inspiration? And I find inspiration in a lot of things, but I also find it in people. So if you want to get into family, like the other ladies are speaking about, you know, my mama, shout out to my mama, I'm mama's baby. Shout out to my daddy, I'm daddy's baby too. And also with my dad, well, both of my parents, they've been knocked down 10 times and they get up 11, you know, and I always tell people, like, if I was selling ice cream, they would help me scoop it. And I appreciate that. My sister, she's like my best friend. I'm her baby too, because I'm the youngest. And so when you're the youngest, you kind of, no matter how old you get, you'll always be that baby. So I appreciate all of them. They're my, they provide inspiration, but I would also say, something that can inspire others is just believe in yourself and also know that you're where you're supposed to be. And when I say that, I say that because, you know, I applied, the program that I'm in now is at a school that I applied for undergrad. And I did not get in because my high school GPA was too low at the time. And it broke my heart because I just knew from a child, I knew I was going to this school. I knew this school was for me. I was like, this is where I'm going to be, because I had so many family members who attended. My parents met at the school. My father got his degree from the school. So I just knew I was next in line. My sister began at that school, but she went somewhere else. So I just knew, like, this is for me. And so when I didn't get in, it hurt my feelings, but I was able to, go to another school in New Orleans. Shout out to Xavier University of Louisiana. Zula, XXXXU.
All right.
So, and with that, I went down there not knowing anyone. And by the time I left 10 years later, I had a whole family system down there of my own. And I always tell people this story because how crazy is it that the school that denied me 10 years ago in 2009 to get in for undergrad, I'm able to come now 10 years later for the drop tomorrow program. Yeah. Like, it was already done.
Yes.
It was already done. And I tell people that just to let you know, like, whenever you feel like it's not going to work out, and I don't want to get so religious, but God has a plan for you.
Girl, because I'm about to get into
God has a plan for you. And this was already a part of my plan before I even knew it. And when I didn't get in for undergrad, I was heartbroken because it changed my whole life around. And little did I know that that was going to make me better. It made me, and I had to go down to New Orleans with nobody so I can learn how to be by myself, so I can learn how to grow. And now here I am, like a grown woman, in the place where I was supposed to be. Like, always feel inspired, because even though it seems like things are falling apart, it's just things falling together. Who wants to follow all of that?
Similar, excuse me, to Allison, because, my mom and dad are my inspiration. They literally are the strongest team that I have ever met. They always told me that I need to shoot for the moon, and if I miss, I'm amongst the stars. Literally anything that I want to do, I can do. My mom would always tell me, God loves you, little lady. Anything that you want to do, you can do. Believe that you can do it, and you're going to do it. And so I always tell people that I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, because for the longest time, I would let my anxiety control me, and it will always work out in the end. So I'm like, why put myself through
anxiety and put myself through stressing it twice, like stressing about it twice, when I know that it'll work out in the end. Mm-hmm. So similar to Allison's plight about everything just kind of being in a place and everything having a place, and mm-hmm. how I would tell people these things, literally everything that I told people I was going to do, I would do it. And I've been doing that since I was young. In the sixth grade, I told people I was going to go to Italy. Literally, my school paid for me a scholarship for a month to go to Italy for an internship. Told people in my master's program I was going to be and go to get my doctorate degree. Here I am getting my doctorate degree. My parents bred leadership and greatness into me. And here I am being a leader and being great, being the youngest in my programs, being this, being that, because my parents taught me these things. They bred these things into me. My faith, they bore greatness into me, and this is who I am. This is who I became because they were these things. Because my mother is so strong, because my father is so strong, because I've seen them go through things and come out on the other side, because I've seen them love people unconditionally and just do things without thinking twice. And that's what they've shown me. They've shown me what unconditional love looks like. They've shown me what passion looks like. They've shown me what greatness looks like. And I'm just following behind them. I'm just literally trying to fill their shoes and do the same thing and breathe life into the next generation and just do the same things and be the same person. That's what inspires me. That's what mm-hmm. makes me wake up. And that's literally what literally pushes me to get up the next morning.
And how would you inspire the next person?
I would literally just, similar to Allison, I would tell them to believe in themselves and believe in who they are. Because at the end of the day, their steps are ordered. Mm-hmm. God literally has a plan for you. Like, no matter what you believe, like, you have to be on His timeline. Because if you aren't on His timeline, you're literally running on a treadmill, making yourself tired. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're running on a treadmill. You're making yourself tired. That's why you're stressed out. That's why you have anxiety. That's why you're tired, because you're trying to run on your own timeline. But if you get off of the treadmill, you're not tired no more. Mm-hmm. You're not exhausted.
Amen. Can I? All right. I'm sorry. I know Olivia's next. I also want to add, just adding to what Amanda was saying, like, and sometimes, you know, you feel like this is what's good for me, but sometimes for some people, maybe the PhD isn't for you, and that's okay too.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think you have to be okay with that, because I do think, like, when you feel like you gotta stay on your treadmill and your treadmill has the whole plan, mm-hmm. it feels like, and I feel like this is for, and maybe it's not for you at the time.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I know what's funny about God? He's so funny. He's a funny God, too. He'll sometimes give you exactly what you think you want just to show you it's not what you want.
Right.
He'll mm-hmm. give it to you. He'll be like, okay, here you go. That you is want true. This ice cream? Here you go. Then you gain 10 pounds. Oh, man, I didn't want that. I'm sorry, God. I thought I wanted it, but I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get off the treadmill now, and I'm going to move on your time. Because when He tell you to move, you need to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make it religious, y'all, but I really had me in my feelings, and I just needed to.
It's okay. It's
Olivia,
okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
You did okay. Great.
When you talk about the Mental Endurance Podcast, you talk about transparency. Absolutely. So be yourself, or as we've been constantly saying these past few weeks, be your authentic self. If I hear that phrase one more time. So, Olivia.
I would say definitely my biggest inspiration is my mom. Mm. She's amazing. She has 5 kids.
Woo.
Yeah, she has a lot.
Ooh, can I interrupt you, Olivia? Yes. I'm so sorry. Okay, props to her mother. So, Olivia interviewed with me.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this.
Yes. And her mom, you all, drove down here, I always get it mixed up, drove all the way up here, how many hours?
10 hours,
for her to get to this interview, and after the interview, drove 10 hours right back.
Yes.
There was no layover, sleeping overnight, nope. Nothing. No, this was a car ride here, interview, and a car ride
she
back.
Did turn and burn?
Yes.
A turn and burn. Her mom, and then her mom, like, set. She didn't even, like, come up there with her at where the interview was. She was in this foreign place and went and sat over in the Starbucks. Why? Olivia was interviewing and everything. Her mom is the bomb. But go ahead.
Shout out to my mom. She was at my interview too. Sorry. Yeah, shout out to my daddy. Shout out to my daddy who was sitting in the car. We saw a double rainbow. Shout out to my mom. I'm sorry. Shout out to her mom. She's fantastic. But she's
all our parents are the bomb. Yeah. But I just
shout out to parents. They really are. Moms are everything. My mom is my ride or die. If I need something, if I need a dollar, I call her. And I can transfer a dollar to my account. So I know that she's going to be, like, my support. My other family is, too, because they're excited that I'm going through this process. But my mom has always been there for me from day one to now. So she's definitely my inspiration. We went through a lot of stuff together. Like I said, I have four siblings. Actually, maybe I have five, but never mind. I have a sister. But, we went through a lot of stuff together, and so her grace and, you know, the way that she carries herself, I always told her if I could be half the woman that she is, then I will be A-okay. She's a great mother. She's a great person. You don't want to get on her bad side. Especially when it comes to her children, that would not be a good idea. But I think for, like, inspiring other people, I think just like my own story of making it from, you know, being, because I was in ESE classes when I was in elementary school.
What's that?
It's special education.
Okay.
So I had an IEP. I had the whole works all the way to middle school. Now my mom fought them once I got to high school. She was like, you guys have to take her out of it because she didn't want me to graduate with a special diploma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, when I tell you, like, not only did my siblings pick on me, but the other kids at school picked on me. But I had a little bit of pride because they would always give me extra time on tests, and I would never take the time. I'd be like, I'm going to do this test in the time that they're giving me to do it. And I did. And I made it all. I struggled through elementary all the way to middle school, into high school. But once I got to college, I was great. I enjoyed college. And I think that's another thing, like, to inspire other people, because sometimes your secondary education, like elementary, middle school, high school, makes people think that they're not good at school. But the other part of that is our school, our education system is not set up for everyone to teach everyone the way that they need to be taught. So it's kind of a one fit all kind of thing. So you never really know where you might end up. And I think that is something that will inspire people to keep going, because you never know what you experienced in the past might be completely different in a master's program, in a PhD program. And here I am coming from that. That could have, like, made me feel like, oh, well, I'm not good enough to be in college, or I'm not good enough to be in a PhD program. But my mom always instilled in me, Olivia, you can do whatever you want, just like Amanda's mom did. And I think that that also, like, when I had those doubts during the process, that also kept me going, because it was instilled in me from a young age. Olivia, you can do anything. Just because you have an IEP, just because you have all these things, maybe you learn at a slower rate, maybe you think a different way. Just all that does not necessarily mean that you're not smart, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy enough to be anywhere that you really want to be. So I think that's how I would inspire other people to keep going.
Awesome. Like, you all have some very inspirational stories, and you have good words of inspiration for others. And so I really am excited about your future. I'm, like, really excited. I'm so excited. And I don't say that in a way of I'm just trying to, like, get these little cookie points and all that. I really am excited about your future. I'm excited about what you all are going to do. Excited about when we walk across that stage and we have this purpose in our hand, and we're willing to take that purpose in our hand and pass it back to someone else. So I'm just very excited about the process, and I do believe and trust and believe that others who are listening to the program are excited about your process as well, because they can hear. I know that they definitely can hear your passion and what you're saying. You're not just on here just because you had an opportunity to be on here. You're on here because you believe in what you're saying and what you're talking about. So with that being said, can each of you ladies tell everyone, like, what's a way that they can reach out to you or either follow you for more inspiration or guidance if this is something that they want to do or they choose to do. And I do appreciate you all for being open, because I know that is a big weight on someone's shoulders to say, I'm willing to inspire or I'm willing to help someone else. But we need more people who are willing to help other people. So What are ways that they can reach out to you?
People can reach out to me on LinkedIn under Olivia Easling. You just search it.
And can you spell your name for them?
It's O-L-I-V-I-A. That's Olivia. And then my last name is E-A-S-L-E-Y, Easley.
Okay.
So similar to Olivia, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, but you also can reach out to me on Facebook under Amanda McElroy, both under LinkedIn and Facebook. My first name is spelled the way that it's phonetically sound, and my last name is McElroy, so it's M-C-L-E-R-O-Y.
Okay.
So I was going to tell y'all to reach out to me on Facebook, but I ain't even going to lie to y'all. I don't even check those messages. So you know what? You can reach out to me.
Don't we love Allison?
You can reach out to me on LinkedIn under my name, Allison Graham, and it's spelled A-L-L-Y-S-O-N. Last name Graham, like Graham Cracker, G-R-A-H-A-M. There's a picture of me smiling. You'll see me.
And as my listeners know, I will definitely make sure that in the description of the podcast, I provide their contact information. So if you're driving and you don't have a way to jot it down, that it will definitely be there. This was an awesome, awesome, awesome segment. And I really, again, like I said, appreciate your time, ladies, and your effort. I know that we basically are like swamped with assignments, and so this is not something that you had to do. We could all actually be somewhere reading a book or journal or writing a paper. So I really do appreciate it, and I hope that this inspires others. I'm excited, and so thank you again, and I appreciate it. And remember, we are not completely done. Please listen to a message from another sponsor, and I will be right back.
Are you experiencing a lack of fulfillment in your job, relationship, marriage, education, family, or in general, just your personal and professional life? Look no further. I help women establish skills that assist you in holding yourself accountable for growth and development. When you work with me to receive personal and professional development coaching, you will leave with a strategy and the confidence to execute it. I am Latoya C. Waddell, a personal and professional developer coach, and you can contact me via my website, latoyacwaddell.com, or email me at latoyacwaddell@latoyacwaddell.com. Again, my website is latoyacwaddell.com, or my email is latoyacwaddell@latoyacwaddell.com. Contact me for your free consultation today. Once again, this is the Mental Endurance Podcast, and I'm your host, Latoya C. Waddell. I would like to thank everyone out there listening to today's episode. So thank you. I am always watching to see who's listening to the podcast. I encourage you to continue to download, share, and subscribe to the Mental Endurance Podcast, where you are encouraged to stand out from yourself. The podcast is currently available on 12 listening platforms. Did you hear that? 12 listening platforms. That is Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Podbean, Radio Public, Stitcher, and Player FM. So you can listen whether you're in your car, whether you're walking, you're listening from your phone, whether you're at your desk. You can listen pretty much anywhere to the Mental Endurance Podcast any day of the week. It is a weekly podcast that comes out on Thursdays, but you can listen any day of the week. Please also feel free to send in your feedback, topics of interest, and even your comeback story. You never know. With your permission, your story may be used to inspire others. This can be done on the listening platforms or via email at LaToyaCWaddell@TheMentalEndurancePodcast.com. I know that's long, so it is LaToyaCWaddell at TheMentalEnduranceCast.com. You can find me, LaToya Z. Waddell, on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and that will be at LaToya C. Waddell. Until next time, I want everyone out there to stay focused, continue to crush on your mental, and increase your mental endurance.